don't know what you fellows did, but I don't know what happened to summer, which we had in autumn. Now we got winter. But I guess that's the way it is. Shall we just commence our service by singing number 43, Jesus Has the Table Spread. If you'd like to stand as we sing. Jesus has a table spread, saints of God a bed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed every need. Oh, too sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude in the water and the wine. Hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeyed Christ's command. The master called to them, come and dine. There they found their hearts desire. Satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Bend the multitude, turn the water into wine. Hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take Amen. I want to be there. Do you want to be there? He is preparing the tables. Let's sing one we haven't sung for a long time, I don't believe. Number 128. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
out of interest when I selected that song yesterday and thinking, what'll I have? It reminded me of the occasion that Barbara and I were in Tucson, Arizona, and we'd gone down into Mexico and we were there for a day and whatever. And we came back to a Wednesday night service where Brother Perry Green was taking it. And he didn't know we were in town. But when he saw me, he just said, "Ah, Brother Lee, he can come up here and take a song or two for us." So I had to go down, and there was about 100-odd people there. And you know what? Of all the song leading I've done, I couldn't remember a single one except this one, "Jesus Loves Me." Luckily, the people knew it very well, of course, and we all know that particular one, but it just, I wasn't expecting it. He wasn't expecting me, but it put me on a spot. However, it is good to know that Jesus loves us. No matter what, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you're at, doesn't matter whether you're up or down, Jesus still loves us. And we need to take that on board. That's a fact. Okay, let us open in prayer at this time. I'll just talk to the Lord for us all. You may be sitting or you may stand as you wish. Precious Lord Jesus, we know that you do love us. There's no doubt in our heart. Sometimes we forget we're a little bit remiss in these things and things aren't going exactly our way. But then if we just consider what you said in your word and we know it's true that you do love us. You don't come to judge us, Lord, or say you did this or you did that. He just wants to pick us up. Hug us. Let us know that we're one of His sons and daughters of God. What a privilege we have. And Lord, we come today as they do in many places on a Sunday morning around this world, here in New Zealand and certainly in this auditorium, this church, we come to worship and praise the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are Almighty God. You are the only God. There is no other God. Much as people say they have this for a God and that for a God, there's only one, and that's you. That's really you, Lord. We just love you. We thank you. We ask today, Lord, that you bless the people that listen in and know that the service is for them as well as us. We uplift them, Lord. They remember us. We remember them. They remember us because they've tuned in, or they'll receive a CD. And Lord, it's for whomsoever, that's for whom the Lord died for. Whomsoever will believe, will receive, and God will come into their heart. Help us, Lord, to just take what you have for us this day and help us to worship you above all in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Yeah, talking about, we've got a very long pew in this church. I don't know whether you know it, but it goes right away, all the way down to Hastings. We've got Sister Bubs down there. She's not here today. But she's there with Kimberly, her granddaughter, and the three children. Hamiora, I think you say it, Brother Peter, Scylla, and Maria, and they're tuned in listening there in Hastings, and they are welcome. So, Lord bless you, Bubs, you're allowed to sing along. We'll carry on and let's sing number 47, "I Know Not Why, God's Wondrous Grace." Think about the words as we sing it. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom, he hath made known, nor
Christ in love redeem me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not how his saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able.
Sometimes we've got hymns that start off with similar words, and I go one way and the musicians go the other. However, the Lord can sort it all out. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing 53, There is a Land That is Fairer Than They.
There is a land that is fairer than they. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare the dwelling place there. By and by. Sing on that beautiful shore.
Amen. Won't be long before we'll meet on that shore. Let's sing number 61. The chorus is, I shall not be moved. Let's that's true in our own lives. Jesus is my Saviour. I shall not be moved. In his love and favour, I shall not be moved. Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In his love and favor, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In his love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved. If I trust him ever, I shall not be moved. He will fail me never. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved. On his word I'm feeding, I shall not be moved. He's the one that's leading, I shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the water's side, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree the water's side. I shall not be moved. Shall not be moved, just like a tree the side. I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water's side. Shall not be moved. I shall not. I shall
shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the water's side. I shall not be moved.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, do we have any prayer requests from the congregation at all? Okay. Right, she was here a while ago and she had to take her home. Okay, she's not well. So, Lord, bless her and heal her. Any other? Okay, I've got some here. There's one for Angie Brown, but she's got five reasons that she wants. She's brought before the Lord. The Lord knows all about them, a whole five there. So may the Lord undertake for Sister Angie Brown in the United States. There's one here for, please pray for Sister Helen Younger of the United Kingdom in Pickering for strengthening, having lost a husband. And we'd just like to remember Sister June Mounter as well, who lost her husband Ken some weeks ago, and also remember Paulette Mocklin in Levin, who lost her husband some time ago, maybe 2 or 3 months now, I guess. However, just remember those. There's one here from Brother Jerry. Would you please pray that God will give me a better car to drive, and please pray that God will give me the desire of my heart to have the token. Well, we can all agree with that. Just remember Brother Jerry. We just remember Israel, that they're all the flack they get. They can never do anything right according to the rest of the world, but we stand by Israel. The Lord did, we do, and there's many other Christians that stand by them. They don't do everything right necessarily, but they do pretty well because God's people was chosen. We thank the Lord for answered prayer, those things that we have had before him over the weeks and days. Just look for the answer. That's what I would suggest. Okay, well, I'll just pray now on behalf of us all. If there's any unspoken prayer requests, just remember that the Lord knows about those too. Precious Jesus, we are very grateful that you are our Lord and Savior. And you knew all what we were going to run into in our lives individually. There's not one that you don't know about. Even people that have no idea what Christianity is about and do all the wrong things, you know them, you know their names, you know where they live, you know what their struggles are, and you died for them as well. So we pray for the people that don't actually know you, Lord, at this time. It may be people in their own city that are waiting for us to say something to them about our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we, in that respect, we ask that you give us the words to say, the love in our heart, the care that we have for other people, just as you did, Lord, and still do. May we be a witness for you, with a testimony in our own lives that other people will be attracted to you. It's not us. We can do nothing. But Lord, if you're in our heart, we can be used of God. And we ask that that is the case. Bless those, Lord, that are listening in on the internet, those on their CDs. Bless them, Lord, wherever they are. Uplift them. We can be down in heart. Things can be going wrong and we don't know which way to turn. We all come into those situations. We know that, Lord. But we also know that you have the answer. It doesn't matter what we're up against. You know about it. And there's nothing, Lord, nothing that you can't handle. There's nothing that you can't see right for us. If we have the right attitude, just believe that our God, the faith that you gave us, and we trust in that, Lord, what you've said will be so. Help us, Lord, to worship you at all times, whether we're up or whether we're down. Cause us, Lord, to be a testimony for you. Bless all those that are having services on this Sunday, and the Sundays coming for them as the sun goes around the earth. At their time of worship, may they be uplifted, because the Holy Spirit of our Lord is right with them, as you are, Lord. You are here for us. We just remember all of those that we've mentioned on our prayer list. Thank you for undertaking for them, uplift them. Cause us, Lord, to remember other people at their time of need. We just love you, Lord Jesus. We know that you're coming soon because you promised that you would be, and we know it's true. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay. We don't have any items today that I'm aware of. No. Okay. Let's sing the tune 135 or the hymn, O Lord My God, number 135. We'll stand as we sing it. By the way, the notices are that we've got lunch as usual. All the notices are the same. 1 p.m. service this afternoon, and we will be having communion with that. And then on Tuesday, 7 p.m., we have our regular prayer meeting. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Let's do that as we sing. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder through the universe. matter how great you think our Lord is, I can assure you he's greater than that. We just couldn't imagine how great, how wonderful our Lord is. Let's sing one more chorus, and then Brother Howard will come. It's I'm Following Jesus, One Step at a Time.
I'm following Jesus, one step at a time. I live for the moment, His love divine. Why think of
may be seated. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Testing. I can say it all over again, right? You people out there on the internet, I'm very sorry. I had my microphone off. Maybe she picked me up on these ones. Okay. Yeah, I was just telling my wife today that I had some thoughts for be of God and in regard to meetings. And I thought it would be really nice to have some time here in Australia. Many meetings. Now, many meetings would incorporate no extra days, just the weekend. And possibly the format can be different, but possibly a Friday night service, Saturday morning, maybe not. But Saturday night until on Sunday, people don't have to take time off work, and as it were. And so I just had those thoughts, and maybe have two or three of those a year. I realised that not everyone could go, but some may want to go, either way, across the Tasman or here. So we'll just pray about that, think about that. But I think we really should start pressing into God more than we are. You know, I've just been listening to a very wonderful commentary on Azusa Street and what happened. And they had weeks of meetings every day, all day. You know, brother and sister, you only get out of God what you put into God. Brother Branham made a statement. He said, unless we're prepared to pay a greater price, we're not going any further with God. And really, the meetings are just a tack on to our shopping, to what else ever we do. But really, it should be our life. You know, they in the early church, they gave up all they had and went from house to house, and they were breaking bread, and they were really seeking for the Lord. And I was looking at this this testimony, and Brother Seymour, who was one of the founding brothers of Azusa Street, when I say he wasn't, God was the founder, but he was instrumental in that. Brother Seymour and another sister and another brother all prophesied. I want you to listen carefully, because God's words don't fall to the ground. They all prophesied, each one of them, at different intervals, but around about the same time. They knew not about the others, but the three prophecies were identical. They were given in 1909, and the prophecy said this: in about 100 years from now, there's going to be a mighty outpouring of my spirit upon the earth, greater than the Azusa Street. It will be worldwide, and it'll happen just before his coming. Who's ready for it? Lord, I want it to be ready. And Brother Branham made a statement too about the Third Pool Ministry. He said that when that manifests and takes place, it will be far greater than the ministry you see in my life and the discernment. It'll be far greater. So we see indicators about the latter rain coming, the final move of God before the coming of the Lord. I just want to be in it. Who wants to be in it? You know, they're talking about the glory, the Shekinah glory that came into the meeting, Sister Shirley. They said it went about that high. It was about that high. They could see it visibly. It was like a mist, and in the mist you could see fire, flames. And as the meetings progressed, and the anointing started to come, that glory, Shekinah glory, started to lift higher and higher. And they said when it got to the ceiling, great miracles. People's arms, who had no arms, were formed, and great eyeballs were put into their head. These are by people who were there. Taken back in 1970, they're old people then, but they were young people at the time. And so, brother and sister, I believe in the full manifestation of the glory of God. We don't want to have church and showmanship and, you know, the preachers. They didn't even know who's going to preach. They had no idea who's going to preach. A brother was led of the Holy Ghost, and he got up and he ministered, and down came the glory, and cripples walked, and it was just so wonderful. People, you know, 3 miles away, complete unbelievers fell on the concrete, on the footpaths, crying out to God in repentance. Who wants that sort of revival? That's what we should be looking for. And I'm just saying that, you know, I appreciate the meetings we have and all, but I just thought we should give God an opportunity to move. You know, in Louisville, we had 7 meetings in a row, and I said to Brother Brad, that's why we saw people, the miraculous healings and things that took place, that they've told us about since I've been back, and people filled the Holy Spirit, was because we had a continuation of the meetings and faith began to rise. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let us believe for greater things. Who believes for it? Now, Brother Brandon said, you preach on healing, you're going to see people healed. You preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, people are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I know that Brother Brian is very desirous to come here from Adelaide. He might even bring you, brother. But, you know, I don't care what you say. As good as he is, maybe the people over there don't fully appreciate. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. But it's something about when you get different ministry in, and God uses that for some reason. Brother Branham said the same thing. So let's pray. I want you to pray about that these mini meetings will, if it's of him, will be blessed of God. There's no lunches, none of that. It's just having meetings. Well, we might have a Sunday luncheon or something, but you know, just having meetings, really waiting on God. Who'd like to have that? We'd love to see God move. Brothers and sisters, I've seen it where I've been, and it's just such a thrill to see. You know, when God was really moving, you know where I was sitting? I was sitting right there. I had nothing to do with it. God came down. And brothers and sisters, we've got to get into the place where we give him everything of our lives. Give him our whole thoughts, our body, our mind. Give it to God instead of filling it up with all the junk of this world and the junk of living. And Jesus said the cares of life, the responsibilities of life, the anxieties of life is choking the word in you and becoming unfruitful. Now I can sit down now, I've preached. But that's the truth. It's actually the truth. Jesus said it, I believe it. And that was a curse of the last day, the last days. Cares of this life will choke the word, it's become unfruitful. So we're here this morning and we just pray that God will bless us as we come around his precious word. I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 1. Who loves the Lord? He's wonderful, isn't he? You know, he loves to hear from you. He loves to hear you say, I love you, Lord. That's it, brother. And it's so important to give thanks to God. And he looked up, Jesus sitting there by the treasury box in the temple. He looked up and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. This is an incredible story. I'm going to tell you something about this in a minute. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. I think it's about a farthing or half of a farthing. Farthing's very, very little. You know what a farthing is? Who knows what a farthing is here? I can tell the grey-headed ones know. What a farthing is, a farthing is half a halfpenny. Halfpenny is half a penny, and a penny is 2 cents, is it? 1 cent. Yeah. So it's not very much. You couldn't even buy an ice cream with it. So here we go. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury, and that's of her porn, I can't think of the word, she's very poorly, hath cast in all the living that she had. She didn't just go to her money box. She casted everything. Her wages, which were very meagre wages. I don't know if she got wages, but all she had, her living, she cast into the Lord. You may be seated. I just can't remember the base of the story. Maybe it was Brother Brian or somebody that he had heard about. They had a vision and they went into glory and they saw, I think Brother Brian was telling it, and he saw a lot of houses and beautiful places and people that have gone on before, preachers and ordinary people. And as they moved up, nearer the throne of God, they saw this beautiful mansion real close up to near the throne. And somebody said, "Who lives there?" And the voice came back. It was the widow who threw the mite. You see, brothers and sisters, it's not how we judge things. It wasn't a big preacher up there. And I'm not speaking against preachers. I'm just saying this. We have our different values. It was the widow who threw the mite into the treasury. She had the big house. And I just think that's so wonderful. So let us just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to thee. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us through your precious word, for thy words are life. We really appreciate it, Lord. We look to your word and we pray that you'll speak to us. Just bless each one here, Lord, and those that are joining with us. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus for your glory, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to speak about giving all our living. Oh, no, don't say that, brother. How do you mind going to give up my car or going to give up my house or something? No, I'm not talking about that. But we're going to give up all our living. And there's one thing clear in the scripture, and that is that God wants all of you. If you're going to be in that rapture, he's going to have all of you. He's not going to have 90%. He's not happy with 90%. He's not even happy with 99%. He wants all of you, all of your living. He'll never be satisfied. If you're to be his bride, you've given up everything. Like in our day, I don't know what happens today, but when a bride was joined to a husband, she gave everything. She gave her name up. She gave up everything she had to become a part of a husband. And if we become a part of Christ, as the Bible says, as a man and a wife, so is Christ in the church, then we are willing to give up everything. We're just wanting to surrender all to. Who wants to surrender all to the Lord? You know, brothers and sisters, he's coming for a separated people, a people that are completely given over to him. So true. And so he's not satisfied with the 50% or 99% giving to God. He wants everything. You know what? He gave everything for you. He didn't hold back. You know what else he gave up? He gave up his Heavenly Father. The Bible says Jesus was really distraught at Calvary. He said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" His disciples left. Everybody left him. They scorned him. There was our Lord Jesus on the cross in a shameful condition. All the people gave up, his disciples gave up, and God gave him up. As Charles Spurgeon said once, he said he was completely and absolutely forsaken of his Heavenly Father. He said, "Now it's times we feel that God has left us. We think he's left us, but God never leaves you." He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." But Jesus, he did. He left him because he was made sin for us and all our sin was on him, and the God could not dwell in the presence of the Lord Jesus because of that sin. So until that was dealt with, until he died, he was on his own for you. Are you willing to give up your all for him? You know, these are the questions we need to resolve early because time is running out. Time's getting short, brother and sister. And I know that I have to give my all to him. And God knows I do. I pray about it all the time. It's not to please us. It's all about him, not about us. I said the other day, we're always worrying about us. Oh, Lord, what about this? What about him? Do you ever give any thoughts for him? Are you pleasing him? Are you doing what he wants you to do? God cannot fully bless us until we give all our living to him, as that lady did. That widow, she threw in all she had. Every cent out of the bank went into that box for God. That's how much she loved him. She received her reward. I knew she would. To hear that testimony of that person who saw beyond the curtain of time, that beautiful home near the throne was hers. So this is not just talking about money. It's more than that. So, but while we're on the subject of money, you know, I remember as a young person, I was pretty sincere. I pray I am still now, but I was very sincere. I'd received the Holy Spirit. And I used to think, well, I've paid all my tithes. I've paid my 10% tithing, which belongs to God. Doesn't belong to you. Belongs to God. It's not yours at all. And the Bible says we keep that 10% from the box. You know, from like the widow woman, he says, we are a thief and we are robbers. I know we don't have to say this here because I know you all love the Lord and most of you pay your tithes, I believe. I know you do. And I used to think if I pay but 10% tithing, now the rest is mine. That's what I used to think in my head. Well, I've got that dealt with. God's got his 10% and the rest is all mine. Until God showed me that all is his. It all belongs to him anyway. Everything we have belongs to God and he's lending it to you. He's allowing you to have that. And he's made us a steward of all that he gave us. You know what a steward is? A person who supervises the finances. A steward who looks after the financial things that have to be done. God's made you a steward of the things he's given you because they belong to him. We talk about the talents, the five talents, the two talents, the one talent. And we know that the Lord gave those to those people. Here is five talents, here is two talents, and here is one. And he says, this talent I'm giving you as stewards, and I'm coming back to get it. Why? It belongs to God. That's right, Brother Pessa. If he's given you a gift, he's coming back and saying to you, what did you do with that gift I gave you? Might be a bass guitar, I don't know. Might be singing. Whatever it is, God has given us that gift, that money, that talent, whatever you want to call it. It all belongs to him, and he's made you stewards. So this is truly a wonderful salvation, and it doesn't end with money, as I just said. It goes a lot further. And Jesus knows each giver. He knew about every person that came in that queue, came in that line to the temple box. He was watching them. He knew they were giving bountifully of what they had. He knew by vision not only how much they gave, but what percentage of the living they had given. Here came a very rich man. He had lovely robes on and gold rings on his finger. Maybe a servant helping him along or something, I don't know. And Jesus knew whether he gave, how much he gave into the temple of God, into the work of God. So the word living, as this woman, she gave her living, it actually translates her very life. She gave all her very life. You look it up in your translators. Nothing has changed today, brother and sister. Nothing. The same Lord Jesus knows how much of our life we have given to him. Do we give him our leftovers? Oh, I've got so much here. Give to the Lord. Or only our spare time we give to God? If I've got time. People say, I haven't got time to pray. I say, make it. Make time to pray. Don't say, I haven't got time. Make it. Rob it of something else that's not important. And give that time to prayer. So wonderful to know these things. Or are we prepared to give all of our living? Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And that dominates our thinking day and night. You judge that. For after all these things, Jesus said, do the Gentiles seek? He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God is aware you need to have food on your table. God's aware that you need clothes. God is aware that you need a house. He's not ignorant. Jesus said so. He knows what you have need of. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. So nothing can be hid from the Lord. Because the all-seeing eye of God discerns deep into the heart of man, and he's looking in your hearts right now. In Hebrews 4:12 we read, for the word of God is quick, it's really quick, it's sharp, we say, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Oh, that's going real deep. You know, you might think a certain thought, but God can look past the thought and know why you're thinking it. Maybe it's something that will be a little advantage to you. It sounded really good, but actually underneath that thought, the intent of the thought was that you'd get some gain from it. He sees that. That widow woman, when she threw in that mite, less than a farthing, she knew there was no gain in it for her. Nothing. She gave her life. And Jesus knew it. So he knows what we're thinking. He knows the intents of our heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You can't cover up. He sees everything. You can have Bibles plastered all over you. You can have all sorts of things. You could even have the message if you wanted to. They're just coverings. He sees through that. The account of the New Testament church demonstrates this very point. Let us turn to Acts 5. Acts 5, chapter 1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it. Secret. She had the secret too. And bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Doesn't say how much it was. But you know what? God knew how much it was. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Oh, boy. Imagine that happens here. Brother Branham said, those days will return. It's going to happen in this church, so we've got to walk really carefully. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You see, brother and sister, he sold the land for $100, say. Just for a number. He sold the land for $100 and came into the church. And we don't know how much he gave, but he may have given 60%. And everyone said, oh, Ananias, what a wonderful brother. He sold all his land. Look, and he's bringing all the money here. But he kept $40 aside for himself. Now, that's okay. He could have done that. He could have said to them, I've sold, and this is how much I'm giving. But he gave the impression that the land was sold for $60. $60 a year. It was sold for $60. But in actual, it was $100, and he kept 40 back for himself. The all-seeing eye of God, the discerner of men's hearts, saw that. And the way in which he did that, and it displeased God. God wants honesty and upfrontness. And as Peter said, it's fine if you want to sell your land and keep it. Keep the $100. Fine. It's up to you. You don't even have to give anything. But to come under a pretense that you're giving this much to the house of God or to God and keeping back in deceit. The Bible says, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Wasn't a very good prayer line to find a dead man in the line because he'd lied to the Holy Spirit. And Brother Branham made this very clear in the discernment lines. Don't come up being false. Don't say things that are not true. Don't even imitate. You're in real danger. And we are this morning. Peter didn't know, but the Holy Spirit knew. The young men wound him up, carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours afterwards, then his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And he might have said, $60. Did you sell it for $60? And she said, yea, yes, we have sold it for $60. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. See, we're not playing church, brothers and sisters. This is the house of God. She gave up the ghost And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, burying her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. You know what? You can be sure, say for one thing, that would never happen again in the church. Being pretense, putting a pretending thing on, the Holy Spirit sees it. He didn't like it at all. I'm not saying those people were lost. I couldn't say that. But the judgment of God came upon them for the act they did. They wanted to give the impression they had given their all to God. But the discerner of men's hearts knew the truth, and judgment fell. We cannot hide from the Lord. He knows everything about us. And I'm so glad of that. Who's glad he knows everything about? I want him to know everything. I don't want to hide anything. Just be open to God, because he knows anyway. I believe God allowed that to be recorded in the New Testament for our admonition and learning. God allows these things to be written. Now God wants, I'll tell you what he wants all of our body. You say, my body? Well, actually it's not yours. God wants your body. It's not your body. He wants to use our body for his glory. Just like the money he gives us, it belongs to him. So wonderful when we think about this in this context. Firstly, the body he has given us actually belongs to him. Your body does not belong to you. You can think what you will, it doesn't belong to you. Let's turn the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. It starts off with a what? No, question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Wow. Which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. You're not your own. It's a great responsibility. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There it is. God said so. So there's no doubt what the Word of God says. Our body belongs to him. The reason our body belongs to him is because he has claimed it for his temple. He wants to indwell you. Do you know the Holy Ghost wants to live in you? And if our bodies belong to God, then we should keep this temple he's given us clean. God does not want to dwell in an unclean temple. You know, Brother Bannon made this statement, people come down for the Holy Ghost and they're eating and drinking and living with another man's wife and expect to get the Holy Ghost. He says, come on. God will not indwell an unclean temple. Now we know the blood of Jesus keeps us clean, but how shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Once we're dead to sin, we have no longer in that. Repentance, a true repentance brings holy living. It really does. Sanctification brings a desire not to walk against the things of the Lord. Now we all fail, of course we do every day. But brothers and sisters, our heart's desire is to live right. Well, he will only dwell in a clean temple. In Romans 12, we read this, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, there's a sacrifice in here now. It's going to cost you something sometimes to serve the Lord. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He gave his life for you. He gave everything for you. What are we giving back to him? We want to live how we want to live with our bodies. No. And be not conformed to this world, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes, there's a small sacrifice in presenting our bodies for Him. And as the Word of God says, it's our reasonable service. I like that. Now, this verse brings us to another part of our life to be given over to God. I told you, it's more than money. Oh, yeah. The renewing of your mind. God wants your mind too. Are we willing to give up our own thoughts and just have God's thoughts? The Bible speaks much about guarding our thoughts. Guarding our thoughts. You've got to put a sentry over your mind by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, I pray every night that God will, the blood of Jesus will be over my mind and over my subconscious. They'll only dream things that are pleasing to God. Every night I do that. I'm not going to have other dreams coming in that are evil, things that are not right, things that trouble me. I tell you what, whenever I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind, I lay my hand on my head, my wife doesn't even know this, and I plead the blood of Jesus over my subconscious, I have really good sleeps and I don't have crazy dreams. You know, we say, oh, crazy dreams, you know, but really we don't have to have them. Who believes that? We don't have to have crazy dreams. That's not right. Plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. It's giving our minds, guarding our thoughts. So important to surrender our own thinking to His Word. This covers a big area of our life, and I cannot possibly touch it. Because our mind covers many things. The things that we are reading affect our thinking. Is everybody listening? Say amen. Amen. That's good to hear that. You say that in Louisville, it'd take the roof off. My mind's more people there. But that's really important. The things that we are reading affect our thinking. The things that we view also affect our thinking. What are you watching? The things that we listen to can dramatically affect our thinking. And that includes preaching. We should be very careful what we listen to. Very careful. Don't just listen to everything that goes on the YouTube or something. Watch what you're looking at. Preaching must be according to the Bible, and that's the final test. If it's not in the Bible, you know, Brother Lee was telling me something, this lady was saying in the Garden of Eden that it was an apple, and she was adamant it was an apple. But the thing is, it doesn't say that in the Bible at all. There's nowhere in the Bible that says it's an apple. So we bring our thinking back to the Word of God. We must be prepared to lay down our minds and receive His Word. As it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Wow. Let His mind be in you, that was also in Christ. The way He thinks. Let us only think the way He would think. Who wants that experience? I want to just think the way Christ wants me to think. I don't want my own thoughts, because they're always wrong. I miss the mark somewhere. It's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. And you've got to constantly guard yourself, your thoughts, daily, even by the hour. Do you believe me? You've got to watch your thinking, brothers and sisters, daily and by the hour. Satan brings things to you that you don't even want. It's not you going looking for it, it comes to you. And so you've got to guard your thoughts constantly. Your mind's got to be protected by the blood of Jesus. And let Him bring things to you, say, I don't want you to do that, I don't want you to think on that. It's real. This is what a Christian life's all about, not just reading your Bible. It's more than that. It's activating your faith. Faith without works is dead. Praise the Lord. So we need to guard our thoughts on the hour. We can only achieve this through our relationship with God in prayer. You know, brothers and sisters, we're not praying, we're backsliding. That's the end of it. If you're not praying, you're backsliding. You're not going anywhere with God. You're just waiting until things happen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." That's what we need. It's not a matter of making a decision, but of giving all to God. I want to read you something Brother Bannon said. It's very good. When you come to total obedience, then you can have possession. But until you totally obey, some of that word obey is a shocking thing to some people. But God requires it. He requires obedience. Brother Branham goes on, you've got to completely surrender your own thoughts, your own will, your own mind, and let the mind of Christ operate in you. Now, do you think with the mind of Christ in you, you would say the days of miracle is past? Do you think the mind of Christ in you would say the Bible's right in some places and not in others? No. We know that's not true. He says, the mind of Christ would sanction every word that Christ ever said. It's right. So if you don't use your own mind, just use his mind. Lord, what do you think? What do you say in your word? It's really good to do this exercise today. Lord, should I be thinking about my wife? Should I be thinking about my husband? Or about that sister or brother? I shouldn't be thinking that. Lord, there's something wrong. I'm giving this over to you. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ on all your thoughts. That will affect your victory in God. It'll affect the Holy Spirit coming into your room. You've got to have a clean heart, brother and sister. It has to be clean and pure. Which we come to the next one, giving all our heart. Now, of course, this is the control center, the heart. This is the real you, not what I see, your pretty clothes and all that. No. The real you is inside. It's the heart. And God does not want just our heart, but he wants all our heart. Because I gave my heart to the Lord, but have you given all of it? You know, by the way people live, they haven't given their all to God. They might say it with their lips. I gave my heart to the Lord. But you can see by the way they live, others have got some of that heart too, other things. If he has all our heart, then our body and our mind and our spirit are given to him. How precious Lord is sad when he does not have all of our heart. Imagine getting married to a young lady or a young man, but you didn't give them all your heart. You gave them some of it. I tell you what, that man wouldn't be interested in marrying that girl. Because she's given her heart to somebody else as well, a little bit. Maybe 10% goes to somebody else and 10% goes to that person or whatever. Or to this thing, or to that job. So people won't get married because of their profession. I wouldn't be marrying that person. You should be number one to them. I won't go down that, it's a whole subject. Our precious Lord has said when he does not have all of our heart. And this is really sad reading. I'm going to read it to you. But the question is, does this apply to us? Let's turn our Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. Second Chronicles chapter 25 verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. Now listen carefully, brother and sister. This verse really affects me. It really does. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Not the sight of men. In the sight of God, he did it all right. But not with a perfect heart. Oh, brother, sister. You can live this word. You can, you know, we say you can grow your hair and grow your dresses or get along. Brothers can be do all that's right according to the word and everything like that. But if your heart's not in it, something wrong. God doesn't want to see your long hair and your long dresses and whatever. Of course those things are good. And God expects that of you. But are you doing it with your heart? Or because you have to? Some people do it because they have to. And you know, when people have moved away from the Lord sometimes, and they get out in the world and they, I'm free, I'm free. Well, what happened? Why did you do that in the first place? Something wrong. It wasn't from your heart. If we do not serve the Lord with a perfect heart, problems lay at the door. They will catch you. And it's just amazing how much scripture that speaks about giving our all. Giving all of our living we're speaking about. If we are to be his bride, we will give our all to him. Time is running out for people to surrender everything before he comes. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Praise be to God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. God wants all of you. You say, oh, Brother Howard, that was in the Old Testament. Listen. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. And even when Jesus was here himself, he repeats the same thoughts from our Lord Jesus, the New Testament. Mark 12:29. This is what our Lord says. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel. He's quoting it. But he puts in some more there. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. I tell you, there's nothing left. It's all for him. Like that widow. She gave her all. She gave every, her whole living went in the box. Tink, tinkle. Not tinkle, tinkle. Just tinkle. So only one mite went into that box. But that one mite represented her whole living. And Jesus saw it and was pleased. Of course, the Lord looked after her. I believe he did. And as according to that vision, she was really blessed on the other side. And he said, the second is namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. The greatest commandment is to give your all, to give everything you have, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So these things are very precious and very real. Who wants it? Brother and sister, I want this with all my heart and all my soul. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to put on a walk with God. I may be not there, but I'll tell you what, I'm hungering for it. Who's hungering for it? We want it. We want God to place it into our life, to give our all, because Jesus is watching. He knows how much of your living you're giving. May the word of the Lord sink deep into our hearts, causing us to give our all to Him. May it be less of us and more of Him, not holding back on anything. May God help us all. Now, brothers and sisters, I cannot put this desire into your heart, but I tell you what, every bride member that goes in that rapture will have it in his heart. It's not a matter of if I do this and I give this up and I give that up that I'm going to be there. No, no, you'll be there because of the mercy and grace of God and by the blood that was shed for you. But if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. Jesus said so. So it's a very challenging thought to me. Giving all our living, giving everything we are to the Lord Jesus. And He's coming really soon. Really soon He'll be here. It's going to happen very quickly. This great move of God will happen so fast. As I've often said, you won't have time to get the prayer meeting. No. We'll be on. We'll be out of here. These things are very real. Praise be to the Lord. May God bless you. Shall we just stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee, and each one of us standing before You, You're standing next to the box. You see every heart here. We cannot hide from Thee, neither do we want to. Lord, may the searchlight of God's Holy Spirit go into our life, into mine especially, Lord. You say to me, Lord, I've told You to do something and You've not taken heed. Oh, forgive us, Lord. May we quickly amend our ways. Say, Lord, You're wanting people that are real, the people that really love You. I pray, Lord Jesus, that Your Holy Spirit will come to us this morning and speak to every heart. Separate us unto Thee as a separated people. For Your coming is at hand. We may not be here next weekend, Lord. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. But Lord, I want to be ready. I'm sure my brothers and sisters feel the same. And those listening out there are desiring, Lord, to be ready and give their all to You. As a bride of Christ ought to be, will be, a separated people. Committed to Thee. I thank You, Lord, that You care for us. Just continue to move in every heart, Lord. I commit ourselves to You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for Your glory. Thank You, my Lord. We love You and we praise You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord.
Before You.
I know God is speaking to hearts. Don't ask me how I know, but I do. God has spoken to you out there in radio land, as Lee calls it, the internet. These are not vain words. They have not been spoken lightly. And we all have to make our choice what we want to do. I want to say this, time is running out. It's not on our side. Time is not on our side. So let us really think upon these things. I don't have to ask people to come forward, and I believe in that. You know God has spoken to you. You should do something about it. It's your choice. That woman, that widow woman, she could have said, oh, this is my last living. What am I going to do for lunch? What am I going to do for tea? But she willingly gave it unto the Lord. He threw in that mite. And Jesus saw it. And He knows when you mean it. He knows when you're sincere. You're welcome to come to the altar if you want to. God, it's not my altar, it's His. But let's just sing this again. Brother Tim, I wonder if you'd like to come and close in prayer, my brother. I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life to me.
Precious Jesus, Lord, we thank You for Your word, Lord, and how You speak to our hearts, Lord, and I'm sure You have spoken to many hearts this morning, Lord, that, Lord, just help us to give that little bit more, Lord Jesus, with a willing heart unto You, Lord, and surrender our all, Lord, and even in our day-to-day living, Lord, and just pray a blessing upon the food, Lord, and the fellowship that is to follow, Lord, and that You would bless the meeting, Lord, at communion at 1 o'clock, Lord Jesus, and thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.